Here we go again.
What?
What do you mean, what?
What happened?
You know
what. Oh, Giannis. Yeah, yeah. Yep. I called it again.
What did you call?
I said yesterday, prepare yourself for him leaving. Everyone should feel a little better today.
Because
don't
you
think?
Because you said, hey, prepare yourself for him leaving yesterday?
Do you feel better?
No. No.
Why?
Because even though what you said yesterday is correct, and that eventually Giannis is probably leaving Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
I still have hope that someday he finishes his time and plays his entire career with Milwaukee.
No,
that would be
happening.
Awesome.
He might come back.
That would be great.
He could come back.
Oh, yeah. But I'm also not delusional enough to not realize it's more likely than not that he doesn't play his entire career in Milwaukee, as much as I would love for that to happen.
All right.
But at the same, I still hope it happens. And even though I know it's eventually coming, and for those who, I guess, missed it yesterday, living under a rock, Shams Charania with a new report yesterday that the Bucks were having conversations, or excuse me, Giannis and his representation, his agent, were having conversations about his future with the Bucks.
And do you believe it?
I
don't know.
Because
when I walked in, you were like, report's false.
Well, so... We'll listen to it straight
There's so many layers for us to be able to even start talking about it intelligently.
We have to, yeah. There's a lot of layers to peel back. So I guess chronologically, is that the easiest way to do it? So yesterday afternoon, I don't know, around 2 o'clock or so Central Time, 1:30 Central Time, a report comes out from Shams Charania stating that Giannis Antetokounmpo and his agent, Alex Tsiratsis, have engaged in conversations with the Bucks regarding his future and whether or not his future is best elsewhere. Shams goes on all the shows on ESPN and says, yeah, they're having these conversations and it's okay. Is this the best place for me? Is someplace else the best place for me? And provides that kind of context to the reporting that he has. And the Bucks played last night against the Detroit Pistons.
Yep.
So, of course, the conversation was going to start there. NBA coaches, they meet with the media before the game and after the game. So, media members like our pal Eric Name of The Athletic, we're going to have the opportunity to talk to Doc Rivers before the game. And, of course, then we're going to be talking about the matchup with the Detroit Pistons. They're going to talk about this, and here's what Doc had to say.
And I want to make it clear just for the, I would say one more time, but for the 50th time, it clearly is not getting the one network, for sure. Giannis has never asked to be traded, ever. I can't make that more clear.
Well, here's the problem. You guys all lie. You all lie.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Here's something we need to
figure
out.
I've been around coaches for a long time.
Yep.
You know, I have a son that's a coach, and you lie.
Yeah.
They don't think it's lying. That's the problem. No. I'm being serious.
It's a Costanza
situation.
They don't
think it's lying.
It's not a lie, you know? If you believe it.
They all lie. Maybe not all. Maybe that's a little too aggressive. But you lie. You just do. You know? And I could give a million examples. A million. With my kids. My son went to New Mexico to play linebacker. I said, he doesn't want to play tight end. Tell me he's not going to play tight end. He's not going to play tight end. What did he do? First year, freshman. They move him to tight end. You're all lie. You lie. Fickle. You lied. You lied. I forget what he lied about, but you lied. Am I right?
The relationship with Wisconsin WIA coaches.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. You lied. You know, but they don't think they're lying. That's the issue. And you cannot trust them.
Just as a sidebar, I love the fact that the one thing that Chewy took away from the conversation we had is that Fickle lied. Can't remember what he lied about. Just knows, hey, you lied.
Yes.
And that's the only thing that he stores
in
his memory.
I can't believe you. I mean, like, a fraud. I don't know why people like the guy. You lied. You're a liar.
Oh, Alex Rodriguez?
You lied. Yeah, by Royce. You lied twice.
What a random shot.
Also, I don't know if Alex Rodriguez is really that popular.
He's not?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he had a 30 for 30 or something.
He's made his way back into the media.
But you back know, to the Bucks. It's just like, do you guys have a problem with lying?
Well, yeah.
I have a problem with people that lie to me.
I don't like liars. Yes.
I do not like liars, and that's why I can't take any, you know. Am I cynical? Probably a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a lot of it. But I'm just, I wanted to go at this thing from a team standpoint. Okay? Because I think what he's doing is wrong. And if I was a teammate, you know what I would say? Then go. Just go. Just go.
But
go.
Okay, but they've so here's again, you want to peel back all the layers of
this.
Let's continue to peel back all the layers of this. Because well, Doc also let's play this one, Joshy. Doc saying his source, because again, anytime this is just the way the media works. So I'm not taking a shot at anonymous sources. Right? Like that's just part of the game. Well, how it works.
Let's be honest now. We have to be specific. The sources are not anonymous on the Shams Report anymore. There's names attached.
All right.
There was a specific name in Alex Saratsis that seems like that is the source of the news that Shams gets when
that
it comes
name
to
does not end up in that report from Shams by accident. He wouldn't say specifically Giannis and Saratsis unless Saratsis gave him permission to say that.
Because, again, we know this. We talk with Shefty every Wednesday. Guys like that, who are the insiders for the respective sports, whatever network they work for, a lot of the information, yes, they get a lot of information from teams and from organizations, certainly. But a lot of the information also comes from agents. Like, a lot of contract information comes from the agents because the agents want it out there. This is how much I got my guy. So they've got great relationship with agents. So I think we could have pieced it together that that's where this information was coming from for Shams, but he also just decided to throw it out there and put the name specifically in the report.
Yeah, I think that is informative to this whole mess we found ourselves in. Because before, I think a lot of people wanted to treat it the same as the league sources and sources are telling me that the Giannis and Bucks thing might come to an end. It's different when you cite the source and the agent. That's where things get a little extra layer here for us and why this is more complicated than what we've been through.
So here's what Doc says his source for his information is.
The thing I keep saying is I go to the source. I talk to the source every single day. Every single day. And he loves Milwaukee and he loves the Bucks.
So, of course, he's referring to Giannis there, Chewy. Now, again, the next layer here, because then things get really complicated when Giannis goes down last night. And if you're a Bucks fan, you were watching that moment, you're holding your breath. Because the way he went down, Chew, looked familiar. If you paid attention to the NBA playoffs at all, you're going, oh, no.
The big one.
Well, I don't even want to say it. I don't even want to say it out loud until we're confirmed that it is indeed not that. But Doc Rivers, after the game, he said the Bucks don't think it is that.
I know you said you're doing more tests tonight on Giannis, but guy goes down with no contact like that. Have you guys ruled out Achilles? Is that something you're still testing on?
I think we've ruled that out, honestly. But I don't think it was no contact either. I thought the bump, if you watch the bump drive, that's what threw him off balance. You know, he got bumped in. And then someone landed on top of him. So I thought the bump was what made him lose his balance. And then it looked like it was no one around, but I thought it was the bump that threw him off balance.
Okay, so they think they can rule out the Achilles injury, which obviously is good for this entire thing. Whether Giannis is staying or leaving, it's good that he's healthy. I think everybody agrees on that.
But it's going to be some time before he's back because he
imagine.
Did strain something. So they're going to lose a lot of games is basically what I'm saying.
But what which, I would which say we're gonna to get Doc. There. But here's the other thing, too, because, again, there's a lot of layers to this that we have to get to because you mentioned teammates. All right. So this is the first time since this report came out that teammates had an opportunity to talk to the media, be asked the questions, not just about winning, again, kudos to them for winning and beating the best team in the Eastern Conference right now without Giannis for the majority of the game like they did last night. But a lot of players stepped up and talked. Here is Kevin Porter Jr. on Giannis.
Gianni, I'll just say this. There's a lot of outside noise. That's just what comes with it. And, you know, Gianni does a great job of assuring that he's wanting to be here with this group specifically. So we ain't worried about all the outside noise, you know. That's my brother. And I'm sure if it was something, he would come to us. But he with us. We're going to hold it down until he's ready.
And then Kyle Kuzma also talked after the game.
Wow, you didn't have a lot to say, huh?
It's just a league. Everybody comes up with rumors. Nobody really knows anything, honestly. Reporters and media, they try to dig and dig and think they got the answers, but nobody has the answers, really. So,
you know what? It's very simple, though. It's just, I don't know why this is so difficult. Because all he's got to come out and say,
see, that's
this is all a lie. This is, I'm staying here.
And that's the final.
Does he like playing games or what?
I think there's a part of him that enjoys the attention, probably. Which makes sense. I think that's true of every athlete, Chewy. I think you could talk about
I'll speak to the players.
Yeah. I was going
to
say, you had one of them that liked the conversation about him. That was one of your good friends.
Well, it's not even him. It's Sterling. When the whole Sterling thing, was that what you're talking about, John?
No, I was saying Favre.
Later on in his career, he turned into a douche. Yeah, that's fair. We all do at times. You know.
Oops Among Us hasn't had
a moment. When Sterling stood up the night before we're playing Minnesota, right? Half 94. The team was enraged. Half of the team was like, well, good for you. I'm with you, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not how I'm wired. You know what I mean? Because I look at, and I hate to use the analogy of, you know, going into battle and all that garbage, but you know what? You put so much blood, sweat, and tears, and your best player says it's all about
you. You put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, if that was the case, I'd go right, and I'd say, what's the deal? Are you here? Are you with us? Are you not with us? You know? And people can have their opinions, and certainly there were back in the day with Sterling, you know? And I've aired my long. I love Sterling off the field. I love him to death. On the field, couldn't stand playing with the guy. I don't want to play with guys like that. And the world has changed. Sports have changed.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about clickbait and what do I get and what's in it for me. And I get it. But I mean, to me, it's just like, are you in or are you out? Are you in or are you out?
Well, so, and I think that's a fair question. And again, you bring up, because again, the final layer to this is Giannis could end all of this rather quickly.
Absolutely.
He could. And I understand now he's hurt, and he didn't talk to the media last night because of that, and he may not talk to the media.
Like,
but we know he has the passwords to his social media accounts because he just scrubbed them not very long ago.
I know, but this is my problem.
So it's easy to send out a tweet or an Instagram post or an Instagram story, whatever you want to do, saying, hey, I'm committed here. Like, he could end all of this very, very quickly.
But here's my problem. Because we went through the same situation a couple years ago with Rodgers.
Yeah.
And people lambast him. Fair. Well, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't Giannis getting the same?
It's starting to happen.
Why isn't he getting the same?
It's starting to happen.
It is? It should.
Because more often than not, I would say the majority of Bucks fans don't believe the reports that have been out there. Because to this point, any report that's come out, and at times, I understand where it's coming from. At times, it feels like there are reporters that have wishful thinking that Giannis is not going to be in Milwaukee. That's what it's felt like at times. So it's easy for a Bucks fan to go, oh, look at this. I mean, he's still there. And on the Hoop Collective podcast, when Wendy brought this up a couple of weeks ago, Tim McMahon, who is one of the hosts of that podcast, went, man, why are we still talking about this? Like, we bring this up every year, and we've been doing this for 7 years. He's still on Milwaukee. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And I think that's how Bucks fans have been. Like, these reports aren't true. They're made up, all these different things. But as the noise continues to get louder, and as Giannis does not dispute them the way that you pointed out, he has not disputed them, I think there are some members of the Bucks fan community that are going, hey, wait, why hasn't he said this? Wait, is there truth to these? And I think you're starting to see that turn a little bit the way it did eventually turn on Rodgers. Do want to get to a couple of these texts on the Carbo's Talking text line, 800-990-3776. You mentioned, okay, are you in or are you out? And Ted tweets in, Ted from Mayville, Giannis's injury, perfect timing after these reports. of all the things that are going on, the one thing I do know for sure, if Giannis steps out on the floor, the dude literally only has one gear.
He can't even turn it down in an all-star game.
No, he cannot. Mm-hmm. Right, so if Giannis is out there, he is with you. And I feel very confident that Giannis would never fake an injury.
I totally agree.
Very confident
in
that. Yes,
totally agree.
Like, whether, again, we can have the debate whether or not you think he's committed to Milwaukee, but the second he steps out on that court, which is the one thing he always wants to do, like, he is...
Yeah. He's all in.
He is balls to the wall.
Yeah.
Like, that is just what he
does. My issue is this, Gabe and Joshy. If you want to move on, do it before the season starts or after it starts. You don't do it in the middle of the season. Too many guys are vested. Too much hard work goes into this stuff to get to the point they're at.
I
just think it's extremely selfish. Now, baseball's different, right, Gabe? Because I was trying... You know, they moved on from Corbin Burns, right? But that was more of a front office move. That wasn't him. Hader, we really don't know story behind Hader.
Hader was the middle of the season.
Yes.
They did Burns in the offseason. So they did Burns.
Okay, sorry. I thought that was middle of the season. Yeah, no. But Hader
wasn't a good move. Like, and because the Brewers were active, they thought the message that sent to the front office, obvious, but to your point, that blew it up. Now, Doc pointed out, and we don't have time to play the entire clip, but Doc pointed out last night the reason why he thinks this is happening is the Bucks, well, going into last night, they had lost 7 of 8. And that's the reason why these are coming up.
I got one question for Doc. One question.
Mm-hmm.
Did Giannis talk to New York or his representatives?
Oh,
I mean, you can spin this any way you want and never ask for a trade.
So I don't think that him or his representatives talked to New York. I believe firmly that if Giannis has his choice, and I don't know if he will, but if Giannis had his choice, he would go to the Knicks. Like, if he was not going to be in Milwaukee, I firmly believe that just the way, over the course of his career, he's talked about Madison Square Garden, the way he's talked about the Knicks. Like, his legacy, just like any athlete, their legacy is important to them. And he realizes what he would mean if he went to New York and brought them a championship. I think he knows all of that. And if he's not going to be in Milwaukee, I think that's his number one destination.
Which is fine.
Which is, again, I don't think anybody has any problem with that.
Yeah.
But additionally, like, Horst talked with the Knicks about Giannis this offseason. Like, that happened.
Yeah.
Whether or not it was an exclusive window, the way that Shams point, I don't know. Like, I feel there are some gray areas around a lot of the details around that. But John Horst, Bucks general manager, did talk to the Knicks. Now, obviously, it didn't go very far because the Knicks don't have anything. The Knicks don't have anything they want to give up for Giannis.
I know we're up against it a little bit, but should, are they and should be the Bucks, I'm talking in front of it, be at their boiling point? If the reports are true, should they be at their boiling point?
Because
clearly the Packers came to a boiling point with Favre and with Rodgers.
Yes, but you know why that boiling point increased?
Yeah.
Because they had Rodgers behind Favre.
Next guy was there.
And they had Love behind. Like, there is no next Giannis.
No.
Like, that just doesn't...
That's the problem. If you reach your boiling point, too bad. What are you going to do about it? If you think you have a replacement, if there was another Giannis waiting in the wings, you go, fine.
Yeah. Okay.
If you see ya. If you had Wemby,
yes.
Then you go, yeah, see you later,
take
pal.
Take a hike, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
But as much as I like Ryan Rollins, as much as I like Kevin Porter Jr., like, these guys, they're nice players.
Yeah.
They're not generational. And that lies therein.
What do
problem.
You think if we pulled it and we simply said, are you sick of the drama?
We can pull
because
it.
We got sick of Rodgers' drama.
Sure.
Where I think people were okay, just go away. And I know because they had Love in the wings.
But
are you getting.
But Rodgers also, I think, with a lot of the other stuff, just becoming outspoken literally everywhere else about everything.
Yeah.
And the silence retreats and the ayahuasca. I think just everything. War on them.
War on, yeah.
And the difference there, too, is Rodgers was a catalyst to the will he, won't he, is he going, won't he go, because every time after the season, he did the dramatics of, I don't know if I'll be here, I don't know if this is my last time, and he fed into it. Giannis has probably wisely distanced himself from any of this as much as you possibly could. And that's sort of the difference. Giannis isn't out here creating it, but now the absence of Giannis talking is also an issue of...
It's adding to it.
Right. So
yes.
that makes it different, but yeah, Rodgers was a main factor on why the stuff happened.
Yeah.
Rodgers was the fire and then also decided to throw some kerosene on himself to increase the flames.
And, you know, I'm a very casual NBA fan. The thing that bothers me the most, is if this is true and I hear he loves Milwaukee. That bothers me the most.
Sure.
That makes my skin boil.
And I can be completely honest. And one last thing. I just want to get to this because we as NBA fans, I don't know why. I know why we do this. But Jason on the Carlos Talking text line. Let's be honest. They don't make the moves unless the player says it's okay. They made all the moves the player wanted. The player has made his bed. Now it sucks, but now he wants to go sleep in another bed. This is why Kobe is the GOAT. Look, man. Like, if you want to pretend that Kobe didn't ask out and didn't create drama in L.A., that's on you, Jason. Mm-hmm. If you want to pretend that didn't happen, that's fine. But that doesn't mean it didn't happen. That doesn't mean that Kobe... There isn't video out there of Kobe insulting his teammates at practice and walking out on a practice. Those videos exist. Kobe asked out. Kobe wanted out of L.A., wanted to get traded. The Lakers dug in and ultimately did not do that. So if you want to pretend that... You know, guys like Kobe who stuck around, like they didn't have some drama, they did. That I just want to get that out there.
Sports are kind of cool. I mean, I love drama. You know?
I know you do.
And it's the perfect thing because it's sourcing and it's no one putting their direct name on it.
Yeah, except for Alex Francis.
Right. You can believe whatever you want to believe about this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to parse out what to believe. And here's another thing. Somebody's lying.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Somebody is lying. Somewhere somebody's lying.
And we have to determine who it is. And I think half of the audience is going to think it's Shams and Wendy.
Yeah.
Half of the audience is going to think it's Giannis and his agent.
This is like my
morning. Some people are going to think it's Doc. Doc isn't telling the truth.
This is my morning Netflix. I get it in the morning, and then I'll go home and watch Stranger Things. And it's the same thing.
Yes. Yes.
And so good.
This is what makes the NBA as relevant as it is.
Yes.
We will continue to talk about Giannis as the morning goes on, but it is a big week. It is Packers-Bears week. We have to get to that. Jason Wilde is going to be joining us coming up next. But I do want to tell you about our friends at Events by Design. Boost culture with captivating corporate events and appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. The creative team at Events by Design truly enjoys the work that they do. Now that we're in December, I honestly can't wait. I feel very confident because this has happened to me a couple of times. Ever since we started working with Events by Design and I'm more aware of what they do, I am going to end up in an event in the next month. And I'm probably going to run into one of my friends at Events by Design, might see my guy Tori there. And, you guys are putting on this event? Yeah, we're supporting this, or we do this. The things that they can do, whether it's a huge event like the Buck Soiree that they did, whether it's just helping out a little bit with our golf event, or anything in between, Events by Design can help you. So if you're looking to put on that great event and boost your culture today, just search online. Events by Design. They design. You party.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Willie. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. Apologies for the late start today.
You're darn right.
We're venting.
Apologize.
We're venting a little bit.
You got
bit,
a lot
Jason.
Going on. No, we're all good, guys. All good.
Jason, I got some solid intel out of Chicago yesterday. Solid. Okay?
He didn't even share this with us, bottle. Jason. This is the first time hearing this.
From my guy, Frankie Bag of Donuts, who lives downtown Chicago. Yeah. He's got his finger on the pulse. He told me the Bears are going to try to run the ball. What are the Packers going to do about it?
You know, I yeah, it's a great question. I can't believe you got such insightful information.
Yeah,
from
I can't believe he volunteered it.
That's why he's a Packers Hall of Famer, folks.
That and you're hot off the three technique.
Jason, did you know, a little sidebar here, that he got fired in Indianapolis because of his mouth?
What?
Yeah. Great story. We don't have time for it. Maybe at the back end.
Oh, that's too bad.
He was okay. Like an intern or whatever under Caldwell. Mike Caldwell?
Jim
Caldwell.
Mike Caldwell was the Brewers.
And pitcher. Pete Metzelaars.
Great lefty on the 82 Brewers. Yeah. Mike. Yeah.
Pete Metzelaars. Remember Pete Metzelaars, the tight end, was the O-line coach.
Tight end.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was the O-line coach. And Frank, in an offensive team meeting, was fighting with Metzelaars, and Caldwell said, Frankie, tell me why this. He's like, you can't. One thing, Frank was unbelievably smart. He's like, you can't do this. You can't block it. It's impossible. You can't do it. And then Metzelaars came up. He said, don't you ever embarrass me in a meeting like that again. And Frank said, well, you're a moron. I don't know how you're still a coach here. Frank's locker was cleaned out the next day. So that was the stint of his coaching in the NFL.
That moron word has gotten us all in a lot of trouble.
It has.
Over the years.
It has.
So, Frankie's right about that, and probably right about the Pete Metzelaars thing as well. But I don't know how they're going to stop it. Like, it would help if they have Quay Walker back. He was a limited participant in practice yesterday.
Who wasn't?
We'll see if he I'm sorry?
I said, who wasn't? That list is long, Jason.
That's
guys
true.
Who were limited participants yesterday.
It is indeed. I love how Matt puts just about everybody on the injury list now, just because, you know, he's paranoid about getting in trouble like the Baltimore Ravens did with Lamar Jackson, et cetera. But eventually, most of them come off of it by Friday, since they did away with probable, which I continue to hate. But look, it's a tall task, right? One of the things the Bears did during the offseason, it's not just that they hired Ben Johnson. It's not that there's been some semblance of improvement from their quarterback, even though he's completing less than 59% of his passes. It's that they solidified the interior of their offensive line, and they run the ball behind that group and do it really well. And so that is that. Look, I think this game boils down to basically two things. Can they stop or at least limit the production of the Bears run game? Because it's a lot like the Vikings game, in that not as bad, but similar, that the offensive play caller / head coach wants to run the ball extremely effectively so his still developing second year quarterback isn't put in a position where he's got to sling it all around the ball field. If they can do that, that helps their cause immensely. And then the other part of it is, Jordan Love's thrown three interceptions all year. These guys thrive on interceptions. They lead the league with 17. If they're able to get a couple off of Jordan Love and have short fields, then that puts the Packers in peril too. If the Packers cannot not throw picks and stop that interior run, I think they're going to be just fine.
Jason, you mentioned that turnover thing with the Bears, and we've seen Matt LaFleur get a little conservative at times this year. Do you think that is a possibility where he goes, oh, we can't turn the ball over, we have to run the football now and try to match the Bears' ground game? Or does he trust Jordan Love the way he trusted him in Detroit?
I hope he does that, because that'll irritate you, and that'll be fun then on Tuesday when I talk to you guys after the game. I think the trust has grown. I really do. I think, you know, he knew that they could not play the Lions with him being ultra-conservative, obviously. And the fact that Love threw a pair of fourth-down touchdowns and, you know, made the throw is a great catch. The throw was good, but the catch was great on fourth down, even if there were people that disagreed with the strategy there. I would think that there's a little more trust there, and that's a good thing. But I saw a stat that they're still throwing the ball on 55% of their first downs for the season. Seems like a really surprisingly high number. And so I don't know, like if I'm Matt LaFleur and I feel really good about my defense against a still developing quarterback and they get out early in the game and do effectively shut down the run or at least slow down the run, by the Bears, I think there's probably some merit to being a little more conservative and playing, you know, kind of the game that is required to beat the Bears, which is different than the game that's required to beat the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and to that point, Jason, the Bears are 28th in the league against the run, 30th in yards per attempt against the run.
There you go.
They allow over 5 yards per carry.
And they're like Colin Urlacher from his hair replacement commercials and Lance Briggs and asking them at, you know, age 45 or whatever those guys are, if they can still play linebacker, right? I mean,
yeah.
they've been as banged up at linebacker. That's like one of those classic examples of some years you just get devastated at one position, and that's what they've had happen to them.
Yeah, they're also 29th against the in yards per attempt for passing. Like, this is the craziest thing, one of the craziest things I should say I've ever seen, Jason. A defense that turns that forces this many turnovers yet is this bad. Like, I don't know if I've seen this, because usually if you're forcing those turnovers,
yeah,
you're preventing, you know, the other team from scoring a bunch of points. You're going to be a top 10 defense. They're 25th in points, 27th in yards, despite being number one in takeaways.
Yeah, they're the bizarro Packers, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the Packers despite the ball king and the lights and siren in the meeting room, they've gotten a few, obviously, lately. It hasn't been an avalanche by any means, but there was a point not that long ago, I don't know where they rank now, but there was a point where the only team that had fewer takeaways than the Packers was the New York Jets, and you don't ever want to be in the same sentence as the New York Jets.
No.
So it's fascinating to me, and that's why I said what I did about the interceptions. Like, I was looking at those same stats and I'm like, how are these guys 9-3? And I don't think their point differential. Is it positive yet?
It is positive. It was -3 going into their game against the Eagles, so now they find themselves +6 after their 9-point win.
And I'm not saying they're the same as the Vikings last year or the Vikings a couple years ago, but there was one year under KOC where they were like, they played like 11 one-score games and they were 10-1. And the Bears, obviously, I think are 6-1 in those type of games. And that's the thing, like, you know, if you're, and I don't know if they've had a game that played out this way, but just hypothetically, you know, the Bears have a 3-point lead, but their opponent has the ball and is driving for what could be the game tying or go ahead score in the fourth quarter. And that dude throws a pick. That's how you win the game, right? And maybe you don't even deserve to. So that's why I think for Love, it'll be a balancing act of, all right, keep doing what you're doing. Still be aggressive when you have opportunities to, but don't put the ball in harm's way against these guys, because you don't need to if you're able to be consistent and you're able to be productive on a down-in, down-out basis.
It was Kevin O'Connell's first year. They went 11-0 in one-score games, finished 13-4, and promptly lost to Danny Dimes and the New York Giants in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then I feel like they were pretty good in one-score games again last year, too, but that's it, 11-0. I knew it was 11 games. I couldn't remember if they won them all or lost one.
Jason, I need you to be a little judge and jury here. Ooh. Me and Gabe.
Can I be executioner, too?
Yeah,
or? I mean,
yeah,
if you want. Yeah.
Me and Gabe got some serious pushback this week in regards to Romeo Doubs. I think we settled on the words, we're somewhere between nice and good. And got a lot of pushback from texters. Some of them even went as far as to compare him to Donald Driver, which we thought was completely insane. What word would you use to describe Romeo Doubs?
Solid.
I like that.
They won't like that either.
Solid?
I like
think
solid.
That's not better than good.
No.
No, it's all those are in the same.
So we're not insane. Well, family. When it comes to this, we're not insane.
I was going to say. Yeah, let's.
No, you're
let's
insane for sure saying, we'll yeah, I'm not going to tell this story maybe yes. later, and then you just tell it right away anyway.
Because the way I look at it, Jason, yeah, I mean, love the best game for Watson, for Reed, for Wicks, I'm talking their best potential game, they're all ahead of Dobbs. Fair?
Sure. I mean, let's understand. Let's understand what Romeo Dobbs does best, right? He's a really good red zone target.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good third down target. He is not a big play guy. I mean, look, Donald Driver, there are people that want to put him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? Packers fans that love Double D.
Mm-hmm.
I don't personally believe he deserves that. But to make that comp, and again, I'm not here to judge other people. I would just tell you that you are selling Donald Driver way, way, way short.
I just told him, Jason, to go just Google Donald Driver 49ers. Do you remember that play against the Niners where he broke seven
carried,
tackles?
Like, everybody into the end zone. Yeah, yeah, like,
and, so watch that play and tell me if you think Romeo Dobbs can do that. And then you can compare him to Donald Driver if you think.
Yeah. Like, let's just appreciate what a good possession receiver and red zone guy Romeo Dobbs is.
Jason,
what's wrong with him being what he is?
Yeah, I totally agree.
And I agree with that, and we get painted as the guys who hate Romeo Dobbs. He has a role. Like,
yes.
He had four catches for 20 yards against the Lions, Jason, with a touchdown. Like, I felt the usage was perfect. They needed those short third down gains. They were inside the 5-yard line, got the ball to Romeo because you know you can trust him in those tight spaces. You nailed it from day one when you compared him to James Jones. Like, James Jones had a great NFL career. He had a good NFL career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Led the league in touchdowns one year. But he was ever going to be, I mean, the only time he was somebody's number one was when he had to be forced to when he came back to Green Bay after the Jordy Nelson injury. But
yeah,
he had a really solid career. And to me, that's what Romeo can be. He can be really solid. But I think there's so much more talent and guys who have so much more upside on the roster.
Well, great. Thanks for dragging me down, and now I'm going to be getting these angry letters, too. Thanks a lot.
Basically,
glad I could be part of the... What yeah. a team to be on, you two knuckleheads.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing what way we can drag you down tomorrow, Jason, when you join us once again here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
One of my favorite things to do three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Bye,
Jason Wilde. We'll talk to him again tomorrow ahead of Packers-Bears coming up at 3:25. On Sunday. And our conversations with Jason Wilde brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer.
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
A couple of things on the Carpool's Talking text line. Again, Romeo Dobbs seems to be the topic du jour for us when it comes to the Green Bay Packers this week, as we just asked Jason Wilde about him. If you missed any of that conversation, check it out on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Clint saying Dobbs more of a James Jones with a Guardian cap instead of a hoodie. We just traded out the old hoodie for a Guardian.
The hoodie never took off, though, did it?
A couple of guys, I feel,
it did
wore
a little bit. Did it get banned then?
I think it did.
Yeah.
I think it got banned. Couple
Why?
Of guys started doing it because it's
danger of getting pulled down by it.
Because again, if you get pulled down by the hoodie, like, that's legal.
What about by the hair?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's legal.
Yeah, but they're not telling them to cut their hair.
Well, that's a little different than can you not wear a hooded.
I always wanted to do that. Just tackle a guy by the back of his hair.
Well, you should have had some opportunities. Brett threw a pick or two, pal.
When there's an interception, Gabe, the first thing you're doing.
Yeah. Oh boy.
You put that head on a swivel. I mean, you're pumping the arms hard, legs aren't going fast to make it look like you're really running, but the last thing you want to do is get laid out.
That's fair.
Decleated. But That's that fair. You can't do that anymore, right?
No, you can't. You can't do the blindside blocks.
Oh, those feel so delicious.
When
oh
you
my
pull
God.
It off?
You know what the best was in high school? when I was just an ogre and you'd pick out this 165. It was so mean. I feel so bad.
No, you don't.
Not really.
No, you don't. You're laughing as you're telling the story. Nobody believes you feel bad.
Decleating. Oh, is it like...
Yeah. In high school when I was an ogre. Yes. Just Chewy Shrek running out there on a high school football field.
Just looking. Oh, those poor kids.
Steve asking, could Romeo secure a contract based on his third down and red zone abilities?
Yeah, for $8 million.
For somebody else, probably. Yeah.
With the Tennessee Titans.
If the Packers were thin at that position, I could see it. Right? Where they go, hey, we still need somebody. It's clearly somebody we can trust in these specific situations. Maybe we can continue to grow this. But they've got other decisions that they need to make.
Is he Alan Lazard?
Romeo?
Yeah. What's Lazard's best year? You think it compares to Dobbs's best year?
I bet they're going to be eerily similar.
Really? So is that who he is?
I think he's closer to Alan Lazard than he is James Jones.
Yeah, because James Jones caught a lot of... Didn't he catch a lot of touchdowns?
He led the league in touchdowns 1 year.
Did he?
Yeah, because he caught a lot of touchdowns. So Romeo Dobbs' best season to date is 59 catches, 674 yards, 8 touchdowns in his second year. Alan Lazard's best season, 60 catches, 788 yards, and 6 touchdowns.
Why do fans fall?
I mean, isn't that very, very similar?
788 yards to 674.
So it's just the case of people that defend him, like, how dare you talk ill about the Packers?
Well, I think, again, I've compared him in the past to, like, there have been guys where, again, whether it was Jeff Janis should be playing over Devontae Adams, or there was a guy by the name of Charles Robinson that everybody fell in love with. Charles Robinson's the Yahoo sports writer.
What year?
Charles Johnson. He was after you were done.
I still get a guy out of L.A. to this day that still texts me. I think I played with him, that always wants Brett's number. And I'm like, no. No.
That wouldn't have been this guy. But this was somebody who was like on the practice squad, and they thought that he was going to come up and just be this awesome player. And then they released him, and everybody was in arms, and he went and played for the Vikings for like a year or two and finished with 200 career receiving yards. Like, you get so close to the situation, you end up having your guys. And I understand, like, again, that year that I just explained for Romeo, that was his second year. You think he's going to grow, he's going to be great. Oh, man, I can't believe turns out he just is what he was.
I will add to this conversation, for years we were the anti-Rashawn Gary. We were unfair to Rashawn Gary. And then you put Micah Parsons next to him, and what does everybody think about Rashawn Gary?
Yeah, but let me
kind of the way we thought about him.
Joshy, with that being said, let me ask you this question. Where do you think the organization is at with Rashawn Gary right now as far as bringing him back next year for $29 million?
Sia wouldn't want to be.
You think they're there?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
I would like to think so.
I don't think they're there yet.
I don't know. Honestly, a lot depends upon what the hell's going on with the foot of Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah. I think they feel pretty good about Van Ness next season.
I would agree.
I would agree, too.
But again, if you're going to be doing things like paying, because even though he's injured, I still think they're going to come to some sort of contract agreement with Tucker Kraft this offseason.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think they're going to want to pay him. If you want to pay another receiver, if you want to give more than just the one-year extension you gave to Christian Watson, again, that would have to be... not until after the season started, just based on when he got his contract extension, because he can only do that within, you know, after 365 days has passed.
What about Quay?
What are you going to do with Quay? I mean, that's an actual decision that has to be made because he's not under contract after this year, right? Like, do you want to extend Devontae Wyatt because he's going to be playing on the fifth-year option? So you have all these other things you have to take care of, and I think that $29 million that you're spending on Rashawn is probably, and because they can get out of it and save a good chunk of that $29 million, I think they end up walking away and spending that money elsewhere.
And Quay is not signing that deal. That ship has sailed.
I would agree.
I wonder what he would get on the open market.
It's tough to say.
Who's he?
Quay.
Probably a decent amount. There's a lot of range there. There's a lot of experience.
I mean, I would say just outside of top dollar, because he doesn't have the accolades of All Pro, Pro Bowl, things like that.
But I bet in free agency he'd get a number we all went, huh.
You think they tried to lowball Wyatt?
Somebody could.
You think they tried to lowball Wyatt because Wyatt is not going to be ready for the start of the season next year. Who knows?
I think they look at, I mean, I don't know if they lowball him, but I think they, I mean, they're going to lowball him to start because it's, I mean, it's Green Bay Packers still, right? Like, that's what they do at the beginning of negotiations. But it's, you know, yeah, he won't be ready. He should be ready for the start of next season.
Yeah,
he?
Big guys, it takes a little longer. Typically.
On a broken ankle?
Oh, that's right. I was thinking ACL. Yeah, he should be fine.
Yeah.
He should be fine. But now foots are the old ACLs, so that's the problem.
Feet injuries always freak me out. Any sport, like especially bigger guys. Like if we're talking NBA, like, you know, centers, power forwards, like those taller guys.
Can I ask you a question?
Feet are super underrated in sports, and when you have those injuries, they're tough.
Probably a little more for Joshy.
Oh, boy.
And I probably should know this being, you know, a pseudo-orthopedic. Who's Liz Frank? Who is it?
Didn't you have that injury?
No, I had plantar fascia.
Oh, yeah, plantar fascia. I'm sorry.
I think that's a person's confused. Name? Plantar fascia?
I don't think so, no.
Who's Liz Frank?
Okay, so it's not spelled like that, though. F-R-A-N-C. Liz Frank.
So it's German.
Yeah.
Is it a person?
No, I do not believe it is named after a person. I do not believe it is named after a person.
There's no way the anatomy god said, oh, let's name that bone the Liz Frank.
The injury is named after.
Yeah, told you, Gabe.
Jacques Liz Frank.
Oh,
de Saint Martin.
See?
What,
he discovered
French
it?
French surgeon and gynecologist who noticed the fracture pattern amongst cavalrymen. In 1850.
Chewy was right. Holy. Chewy was right.
Feels good. I haven't heard that
in a
while.
I was about to say, we haven't. You're welcome. You know, yeah. I set you up for that. Yeah. Jacques. Turns out it was French.
What a name. Jacques Liz Frank de Saint Martin.
That's a gyno working on the foot. This is a radio guy as an orthopedic, so not that far
when
off.
When did this happen back in the 1800s? There weren't a lot of doctors exactly then, you know. Yeah, sure, you had your specialties.
We called them barbers.
Just needs a good bleeding.
We are insane.
Just needs a good bleeding. Yes. We'll get back to Packers, Bears, plus more Giannis still to come. I'm Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it, he said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking the ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Before we get back to Packers, Bears, or even Giannis... Chewy, you were telling me something you've got to do. I think you're doing it today. Ranks on one of those things that don't seem like you want to do, but I think you're going to be glad you did at the end of it, because whenever you need one, you're going to have a good one now.
I got to go get a suit, which is fine. It's time. I need one. It's kind of a waste because I hate dressing up, you know?
Sure.
I mean, has dress for weddings changed where you don't need to wear the coat anymore?
I still think the coat is a nice touch. I don't think you need the tie as much as you used to.
It's certainly gotten more casual, but you're not standing out if you're wearing a full suit.
Yeah. And I got two of them. I got two weddings.
Yeah. A lot of weddings, people will be like just shirt, slacks. Dress shoes, and no one will look at you funny.
I mean, I'll tell you what, when you showed up to my wedding, you were dressed to the nines, pal. You look good. Pocket square, whole nine yard. You were sharp.
Yeah, but when you got a son who's the oldest that all he does is wear clothes from the school where he's coaching, and he comes up and says, oh, three-button suit, what are those back in? Kind of a problem.
Might be time to update.
A little bit of a problem. So
when coach is popping you, you've got to change up the wardrobe.
All right. Because here's the deal. This is how it's going down. It's kind of like, you got a cavity. I got to go to the dentist. Don't really want to go, but I guess I have to. I'm going to work. I'm not changing. I'm not showering.
You're going right from the gym.
Yes.
Well, and here's, because obviously you have to get custom. You cannot buy something like
correct.
A rack. That is not an option for you.
Correct. Is that wrong?
I don't know if it's right.
I mean, I know the guy. He's a great guy.
I think he would much prefer you.
No,
not
I'm not coming. Doing it. During the week, I shower and then I put my nighttime clothes on at 2 o'clock. That's it. I'm not putting jeans on.
The PJs are going on at 2?
Yeah. That's how I roll. No, man. I'm not. So PJs if it was a Saturday, I'll wear jeans on a Saturday.
On Thursday.
But it's going to be crowded. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just, I don't know if the word's stubborn or what.
Here's the thing.
What?
If you're going to give this person money, they'll deal with
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Like, especially doing custom suits.
Yes.
They're not going to be happy about it.
Yeah.
But he's not going to say, hey, next time can you shower? Because once you pay the fees, he says, hey, it was worth it.
I had every intention of putting deodorant on, too.
No, you didn't. That's all.
No, I did. I actually, but I forgot because I don't put deodorant on very often.
Which would track. If he forgot to put on deodorant, that does track.
That I had every intention of putting deodorant on might be the biggest lie you've ever told in this program.
I'm busted.
There have been some whoppers, too.
All right. Okay. So the last time I went to him, I got the sport coat with the little thing in the pocket and the slacks and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Should I go suit? I have not bought a suit in probably 15 to 20 years.
I think suit's always a great look.
Yeah, suit's a good look.
Yeah.
But again, whatever you wore to my wedding, like, that's a great look for any wedding.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also think the good thing about having a suit and wearing a suit is I have a wedding, I know what I'm wearing.
Okay.
That's what it takes away all the extra factors. This fits, it looks good, I'm wearing it, and it doesn't really matter.
So you guys are really frowning on, I'm going like this.
Yeah, we know.
Okay.
We know.
We're just, and if you know this person, he probably knows.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
We're not mad, we're just disappointed.
I'm a little worried about the shoes, though, because I got to get shoes with it.
I don't know if he wants you putting your, unless he knows you're buying the
shoes. It's day four.
Oh, come on, man.
It's day four.
Forgot about that.
But it's cold out. But it's
cold. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. Your feet don't sweat when it's cold.
It's not cold in the gym.
Fair.
It's not cold in your shoe.
I don't need to try them on. I'm a 13. Except for that one time.
You try on shoes wearing those socks. You should get kicked out.
Yeah.
Then I'm buying them.
Then you're definitely buying. Whatever you put on your foot,
okay.
You are buying. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy's back in 2 minutes.